Scripture this morning is from Acts chapter 2. It's right after the Holy Spirit has come. We celebrated Pentecost last week. And if you'll remember, they were accused of being filled with new wine, maybe a little drunk, as they were spouting off in different languages. And here is what Peter responds. Peter responds to the crowd. Really, this is like first sermon ever. So here we go. From the Christian perspective. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of powers and wonders and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man Jesus, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you may both see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this word as it comes through us through the millennia. And pray, God, that this morning you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts and minds that we might understand. In understanding, we might turn to you, and in turning to you, find healing for our very lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as already mentioned, I went to the U2 concert on Wednesday night, the Joshua Tree tour. 30 years later, 30 years ago, I was in Three Rivers Stadium watching that Joshua Tree tour as a young lad of 18. You can do the math, now you know how old I am. And there he was, and early on in the performance, Bono said something that was just, it was great. Bono said, He was after a song, he's like, I'm still here, you're still here. What a blessing. I was like, that is beautiful. I'm like, I am in church right now. It is so true. I'm still here. You're still here. What a blessing. Let's have communion. Word of God. For the people of God. So anyways, that actually fits well with some of like the main point of what I think I want to say this morning. We're still here. What a blessing. But here is Peter spouting off with this very first sermon. And this like first sermon and all these words lead up to this very audacious claim. The whole of the very first sermon builds to this one thing, that they would know with certainty, it says, that Jesus is both Lord and Messiah. Jesus is Lord. This is such a bold proclamation right here in this, in that time, in that context, in the middle of Jerusalem under Roman rule. We might be used to like just spouting out off, Jesus is Lord, or hearing it. But to say Jesus is Lord was an audacious claim, because under Roman rule, there was only one Lord. And who is that Lord? Caesar. Caesar is Lord. There is no other. And for the Jewish people, there's also only one Lord. That is Yahweh. Yahweh is Lord. There is no other. And for both, Lord meant divine. Lord was the one you submitted all other things to, because the Lord had this other holiness to them that was divine. And Peter stands out in the middle of Jerusalem under Roman rule with all these Jews around him and boldly declares that Jesus, whom you crucified, is Lord and Messiah. And then he goes to backproof his claims. He goes to Joel first, Joel chapter 2, and he starts saying, he quotes Joel chapter 2 saying, God says he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh, and there'll all be all these signs and wonders, and the sun itself will turn to darkness. And those that are standing there might think back 6 weeks ago when Jesus was on the cross, and indeed, a darkness came upon the land. And so Peter's basically saying, look around. It's happening now. The Spirit's come. It's being poured out. Look at Jesus. Remember all the great signs and wonders that he did. They support this claim of his being Lord over all. Call on his name, and you will be saved. For only the Lord can be saved. And then Peter also reaches into the Psalms, and he pulls out Psalm 16, which has always been one of my favorites. And he reimagines this old psalm that's been attributed to David. These words in Psalm 16 were thought to be about David, but Peter reimagines them and says they're actually about Jesus. And you see the words that he quotes. He says, therefore my heart is glad, my soul rejoices, my body is rest secure, for you do not give up me up to Sheol or to Hades or to the grave, or let your faithful one see the pit or death. No, you show me the path of life. And you see, it was always thought in the reading of this Psalm 16 that this was about David. But Peter says, look, no, this is about something else. This is about the Messiah. Because look, David is still dead, Peter says. Look, his tomb is right over there. We can go visit it. But Jesus is alive, raised up by God. These words are about him, and all these signs confirm these words, and we can then know with certainty Jesus is Lord, and everyone who calls upon his name will be saved. And in this kind of reordering who is Lord of our lives, we experience a radical reordering of our lives. You see, Rome is no longer in charge. Caesar is not Lord. The Jewish law, the Torah, is no longer in charge. Jesus is in charge, which means love and grace are in charge. And our understanding of God is then reimagined in this Messiah, in the Christ. And the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preaches captures this whole new understanding of how Jesus will be Lord over us. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says things like, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I now say, do not resist the evildoer. Turn the other cheek. You have heard it said to hate your enemies. But I now say to love your enemies. You see, this was a radical reordering of everything that we understood. This was a radical reordering of our lives around love and grace and compassion. And Jesus is inviting us into a new way of being, a reimagining of everything. So what could it possibly mean, this lordship, this reimagining of our lives? I'd like to just personally share a little bit about what it has meant for me in my life recently. But I first want to read some of Psalm 16, or actually all of Psalm 16. Because Psalm 16 is where I was drawn to in this passage, and I want to speak about this morning. So listen to Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. But there are those who choose another God, and they multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. So I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So, you've often heard me speak of St. Ignatius, and one of his spiritual principles is this idea of our consolations and our desolations. That there are consolations that we experience in life and desolations that we experience, and we should pay attention to both of those. They tell us something about what's going on in our lives. And lately, recently, I've been living in my desolations, been creating anxiety and uncertainty in my life, and in my faith journey. Some of it has to do with like life transitions. My son Ben is graduating from high school today. Relational transitions that have been happening in my life over the last few months. Hot metal transitions that are occurring in this space, all creating some anxiety in me. My good friend who we went to the U2 concert with, Leanne Younger, some of you know her, earlier in the day of the day of the concert, she texted me, and she said, there's going to be a lot of midlifers there that are going to be crying when Bono sings, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I was like, that is hilarious. And so true. Bono, it's so true, I still haven't found. Oh, man. So lately, I've been worried about getting like everything right. I've been worried about feeling like I got to get everything moving in the right directions. But often, I don't know about you, but often in life, I don't get everything right, and I'm not sure which directions to even move in, right? And I get worked up about what is and what is or is not to be. And to highlight this like sense of anxiety that I've had living in this desolation space is, are any of you guys familiar with the Bitmojis? So Bitmojis, if you're not familiar, it's a way of texting. You create a little avatar that looks like you, all right? And then they have all these like funny ways of sending that little avatar. And Carolyn made me a Bitmoji several months ago, so we have lots of fun like Bitmojiing each other throughout the day. And I was feeling like it was earlier this week, maybe I don't know. There was a day where I was like super anxious, and I found myself like pacing around, and I was like, I bet they have a funny Bitmoji for this. So I forget what I I forget what I searched, and I found a Bitmoji that was like on the floor in the fetal position, you know? So like I immediately like paste that, and underneath it I type in feeling super anxious today, and had a little like, you know, one of those little faces going ah, and I sent it like immediately, and then I looked and I saw three people. I'm like, wait, who did I send it to? I sent it to the most recent text that I had received from Dave, Dylan, and Mike. So Dave, Dylan, and Mike receive a Bitmoji of me in the fetal position saying, feeling super anxious today. Yeah. I immediately texted something else to them that indicated I hadn't meant to send that to them. I may have used some colorful language. And then I was like, well, not feeling anxious anymore, just feeling like an idiot. And then I was sitting in a coffee shop recently. This is the Confessions of Your Pastor morning. I was sitting in a coffee shop over at Commonplace on the north side. And Frank, who oversees the operations there, looked at me and he said, are you feeling okay? I'm like, I think so. Why? He's like, wow, you look pensive. I was like, pensive? He's like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean I look pensive? And he defined it as wallowing in thought. I was like, I think you're right. I might be wallowing in my thoughts. And I've been doing that a lot recently. I have a lot of thoughts and emotions about certain things going on in my life, and I'm wallowing in them. So, of course, later I look up what it means to wallow, right? Definitions about wallowing. Of course, one of the primary ones is like rolling around in the mud like a pig. You know, like that's wallowing. But under the Urban Dictionary definition, a metaphorical rolling in or soaking in one's emotions. I was like, ooh. And then another one was to become or remain helpless. And that combination like hits on how I've been feeling. A metaphorical rolling or soaking in my emotions to the point where I was becoming helpless. You see, it's so easy to forget that there's been times in my life when I personally surrendered myself to a certain Lord. And that the Lord is Jesus. That I have surrendered myself to the Lord Jesus so that I don't have to be wallowing in this emotion and this thought. And I was drawn to Psalm 16. I was drawn to this reimagining of what is good, right? Of what is real success, of what it means to be moving in the right directions in life. Psalm 16 invites us to remember a few things about goodness in our place in life. It starts by saying, I have no good thing apart from you. That God is our greatest good. It says, those who go after all the other gods multiply their sorrows. And we all have other gods that we seek, right? Be it success or money or an addiction or a need to be loved and appreciated. We all have other lords. We declare with our lives and our actions, money is Lord. My stuff is Lord. Heroin is Lord. Sex is Lord. I am Lord. Being right is Lord. My job is Lord. The need for success is Lord. We put all these other lords in charge of who we are. And we forget that in surrendering to Jesus, he is our Lord. Now, this past week, I had an opportunity that was before me. And it ended up passing me by. And I really felt this opportunity could have specifically addressed some of these anxieties that I have been feeling in my life. Some of the challenges even that we face here at Hot Metal. It was an opportunity to seem like, man, this could be so helpful to me and helpful to the church. And I had been wallowing in all these thoughts of what the next opportunity might be, and this seemed like a clear answer. But without getting into all the details, it passed me by. And so last week, I was sitting on my porch, and I was reading a book, and I had my dogs out on the porch. I have a very small porch. It's a stoop. I wouldn't call it a porch, I guess. It's not really a porch. It's a stoop. So I was out on my stoop, and a friend who frequently rides his bike past my house was riding by. And if I'm ever out there, he always stops, and we always have a nice little chat. And we're chatting, and we were talking about he does music. Dave Bruton. He does music over at Friendship Church. And in our little we always talk church stuff. And I found out he'd been at Friendship Church for like 37 years doing music out of the goodness of his heart. He doesn't get paid for that. You know, I was just like, Dave, that is really something. And he was just talking about the ups and downs of it and the blessings of it and being rooted in that neighborhood and all the things. And then as he's biking away, he calls out to me. He's like, okay, well, enjoy your book. Enjoy your porch. Enjoy your dogs. And I thought, yeah, enjoy. I thought of Psalm 16, which reminds me that the Lord is my chosen portion, my cup, that the Lord holds my lot, that the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places, and I have a goodly heritage, and that in the presence of God there is fullness of joy, and in God's right hands are pleasures evermore. And I thought, enjoy. And it's easy to forget this, right? It's easy to look at our lives and see all the broken places, the anxieties, and forget the beauty and the good, and to forget where the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places for us. And certainly there are times in life when it just does not seem to be so, when it seems overwhelming, when it seems impossible. But God calls us, even in those moments, maybe especially in those moments, God longs to reach out to us and help us reimagine our circumstances, reimagine them in Jesus, no matter what they might be. And since that moment on the porch and that moment that this opportunity passed by, honestly, I've had a real deep peace. I've found myself appreciating my boundary lines and the goodness of a God who loves me in all my mess and all my anxieties, the goodness of a God who gives me counsel in the form of a friend on a bike, the goodness of a God who is always before me, so I do not have to fear what is next or where that journey may lead, that I'm allowed to be in the present moment. And more importantly, to be present in the presence of my Lord. And that presence, when we really dwell in it, we find fullness of joy. I'm still here. You're still here. What a blessing. Simply to be in the presence of God, not in any life circumstance. That I do not need to wallow in my thoughts or my regrets about the past, my uncertainties and anxieties about the present, or my fears of the future. And I think a way that we do this, a way that we come into this presence of God, is through what I talked about several weeks ago, centering prayer. Centering prayer is a way of putting ourselves before God to remember the goodness of just being with God. And if you missed that, you can listen to the podcast on our website all about centering prayer and how to get there. Because just being in God's presence is what frees us to be more ready and willing to be a servant for the one I call Lord. It enables me to look past my own needs and to focus on the needs of others. Because Jesus' greatest reimagining of all was to sum up the greatest commandment of God as loving God and loving others. That loving God means we understand more and more fully our belovedness and God's care for us. And we understand that Jesus is Lord, and when we get that right, we find ourselves more willing and ready to live out the second part of the command, to love others. So where are you wallowing in your thoughts or emotions today? What have you placed as Lord over your life? And what about your life do you need Jesus to help you reimagine? These guys are going to sing another song for us. And it's one we're just invited to meditate upon, to sit with, to listen to. I invite you to consider those questions and to remember that Jesus is a Lord like no other. He is not a Lord who demands our strict obedience. He is a Lord who invites us to complete surrender.